Hi, this is Wayne Zell, and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, a compendium of articles, videos, and audio, of course, that you're listening to that today, that hopefully will help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom, and give you some information that will make your life a little bit easier to live as you move along in planning for your business, planning for your individual life, and so on. And so if you'd like to subscribe to Blueprint for Wealth, and we invite you to do so, please go to www.blueprintforwealth.org and sign up for the website there. And you'll be receiving all the updates that we send to all of our listeners and all of our subscribers. Blueprint for Wealth is part of the Power of Attorney Radio Network, and it's brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients across the country. If you'd like to know more about OF&P, please visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. And today, in the spirit of bringing you special content, I have a very special guest, and his name is Dr. Yuval Bar-Or. Welcome, Yuval. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for being on the show. Yuval has published a new book entitled Pillars of Wealth, Personal Finance Essential for Medical Professionals. And we're going to talk about that today. But before we get into that, I wanted to give you a little background on Yuval. He's a leading expert in decision making in the context of risk and risk management. He's an assistant professor at Johns Hopkins University's Carey School of Business, where he primarily teaches investments, corporate finance, wealth management, and risk and accountability courses. And he's also the founder and president of The Light Brigade, LLC, which is a management consultant company. He's written 7 books, including Pillars of Wealth, and so he's well-published, and he's been quoted in virtually every major publication that deals with business, including U.S. News and World Report and the Journal of Risk Management, among others. He holds a Ph.D. and M.A. in finance from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania, and he's an engineer and has 2 economics degrees from Canada's McMaster's University. So, I mean, tremendous. But on top of that, he was a member of the varsity wrestling and rugby team, and prior to that was a ranked gymnast. I mean, this is the ultimate renaissance man. Welcome again. You're a black belt in Taekwondo, too?
Yes.
I'll have to have you square off against my wife. She's a black belt in a similar discipline, and you guys will, you know, you do a little sparring every now and then. So we're talking about the book that you wrote, Pillars of Wealth. Where did the idea come from for Pillars of Wealth, and how did you get the name, and what's it really intended to address?
The book is intended to address a very specific challenge, which is that some of our best and brightest are medical practitioners, yeah, dentists, physicians, and so on, enter their sort of real-world careers once they finish their education, and they tend to not have much, if any, knowledge of finance and business decision-making.
Even though they think they do.
And some of them think they do, of course.
Yeah.
The challenge, of course, is that they are then thrown into significant decision-making for their families and for their private practices and also within hospital settings.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need these people from a societal perspective to be able to make good decisions, and they, as family members or heads of households, need to be able to make good decisions.
You were telling me about your situation and your mom and how you really became impassioned about all of this. Give us a little background on that.
My perspective is a very personal one. I come from a medical family. My father was a physician, my brother is a physician, and we have various dentists and physicians in the extended family.
Mm-hmm.
My father passed away a few years ago. He had been traditionally the financial decision maker in the family, and that left my mother a widow without any tools to deal with some of these upcoming decisions. And
sure,
despite the fact that she had some advantages in the sense that her children were all professionals and were able to and willing, happy to provide various types of advice, she was still losing sleep over financial issues.
I can only imagine. I mean, that's being thrust into that situation is not an uncommon situation, but it's scary. It's very frightening.
Precisely, and given the advantages she had, the implication is that many other people suffer to a far greater degree. And so my motivation was to provide to medical families more tools, more knowledge, so that they can help to level the playing field, that they can feel that they're able to make decisions without being overly concerned. And as I began to do more and more of this teaching to young physicians. One of them, in fact, sort of framed the entire problem by saying, look, we feel like sitting ducks. We know we have to make financial decisions.
Sure.
We feel that the clock is ticking,
yep.
but we just don't know where to start and we don't know whom to trust. And that is really the underlying...
That's the origin of Pillars of Wealth.
Precisely.
And so the book is for physicians and physicians' families, veterinarians and veterinarians, healthcare professionals, really.
Precisely, yes.
Okay. So I know that there, in the book, it mentions that there are three axioms. First of all, mm-hmm. for the layperson out there, what is an axiom and what are the three axioms of the Pillars of Wealth?
Right. So for our purposes, it's sufficient to say that an axiom is sort of a rule. It's a guiding rule that this particular population or audience should be following.
Okay.
And I can go through the three.
So
in
what
turn?
Are the three
sure.
rules?
Okay. So the three axioms are, and this is the recommendation here is directly to the reader. And
yep.
so your most valuable asset is earning capacity. That's axiom number one. Axiom number two is your most precious resource is time. Mm. And axiom number three, your greatest enemy is procrastination.
You know, I think this applies not only to medical professionals, it applies to all professionals who make a living based on time, like lawyers.
Absolutely.
And
yes,
accountants.
Right.
So there's a lot of lessons to be learned, not just for doctors and physicians, but also for anybody whose primary asset is their time and their earning capacity.
Absolutely. And attorneys, in fact, have even more in common with physicians and dentists.
Sure.
In that they tend to spend a lot of time in university. They tend to have high school debt. They tend to have a high earnings capacity, but when they're finally getting their first jobs, they feel like they're behind their peers from high school and undergraduate programs who have already been working and progressing career-wise for 5 to 10 years. So they feel the same sort of pressures, same concerns.
When you're referring to a pillar of wealth, and we're going to talk about some of the key pillars of wealth that you've identified in the book, they also, you know, remind me of buckets or storage bins or silos of assets, aren't they? Isn't that essentially what you're going after?
Precisely, and those are words I've used myself to describe those pillars, so that's exactly
but I like the,
right.
I like the visual of the pillar.
The visual that always occurs to me, and everyone of course takes away their own perspective, is that of the pillars that we compile over a lifetime, each of which is a repository of value, a bucket of value.
Okay.
And those pillars are what supports our retirement. They support our family while we're alive, they support our family once we're no longer there, and they also provide for a dignified retirement for us. So those pillars are holding everything up. And what we need to do, to extend the analogy, is to build as many different pillars as we can.
Okay.
And to protect those pillars.
All right. So, I mean, one of the first ones that everybody thinks about are stocks and bonds, securities. They come in different flavors and different ways of being purchased. How do you handle that in the book? I mean, you've got 5 pages devoted to it. The pillar of stocks and bonds, how would you describe that in a nutshell for the listener?
In a nutshell, the pillar of stocks and bonds is any pillar, any bucket or repository of value in which we are investing in stocks and bonds, where mm-hmm. stocks and bonds are financial securities issued by corporations. Their governments also issue financial securities, and investors can buy those in any combination they wish. And if they make good decisions, if they diversify their risks, those investments over time stand to gain value and build up those pillars, make them taller and wider.
Do you advise the doctors to manage these assets themselves?
It really depends. There are a number of considerations that come into play. One is that when you make your own decisions, you're in control,
mm-hmm.
which can be a good thing.
Right.
As long as you know enough to not be harming your own ultimate objectives.
In the pillar of cash, how much cash should somebody have in that pillar for emergency needs or for immediate needs?
The rule of thumb is that one should have anywhere between 3 to 6 months of salary.
Okay.
In the form of cash. And cash is anything from the proverbial cash stuffed under the mattress to checking account, savings account, certificates of deposit. Anything that can be, any asset that can be sold quickly will retain its value and can then be available for an emergency.
Now, I've noticed you've listed insurance cash value as one of the pillars. There's lots of different pillars. There's real estate, there's business ownership, collectibles, and inheritances. Some people are fortunate enough to have that. Tell us about insurance cash value.
Right, so it's important to note that insurance is actually plays a role in protecting our pillars. But there's also a specific feature to what's known as permanent insurance. Those types of policies allow us to actually build some value, to save money. And so that very specific feature, the cash value feature of permanent life insurance, represents a pillar in its own right.
One of the objections I always get from clients that I deal with on permanent life insurance is the fear of paying too much in the way of commissions to the insurance agents. And they object to buying insurance because they think it's just not fair. The commission agents make a lot of money. What's your response to that concern or fear?
I think there's a legitimate fear there, and that applies to any financial service or product. One should always be very concerned about the commissions or fees that are associated with any of those offerings, and the best thing to do is to ask.
Mm-hmm.
One of the concerns that's associated with dealing with, in particular, insurance is that insurance agents, those who sell insurance, may not have a fiduciary duty to the purchaser. And in order to level the financial playing field, you want as much as possible to be serviced by fiduciaries. So that's one of the first questions you want to be asking.
A chapter on human capital, which is you refer to as the great enabler of pillars. What do you mean by that?
Right, so human capital refers to all the knowledge and experience and expertise that each of us builds in ourselves. So when we go to school, we're building up our own human capital. It's an economics concept of human
mm-hmm.
capital. When we learn on the job, when we learn lessons the hard way, on each of those occasions, we are building up our human capital. Professionals, we've talked about them, a number of different professions already, and some of the challenges they face, spend many years in school. They develop very, very specific areas of expertise, a lot of depth of knowledge that applies to attorneys and various medical practitioners. And that knowledge is really what stands to fill up all those pillars with value. All those buckets need to be filled somehow. When we are, as young professionals, released into the world, our pillars are empty. In fact, some of them have negative value because we may have $170,000 worth of school debt, which recently was the average physician or dental student's debt load.
Wow.
So we need to keep ourselves safe and healthy in order to be able to realize 20 to 30 years of earnings, which fills our pillars up.
You have a chapter on managing risk, which is one of your real expertise areas, and it's the threat to your pillars. Risk can be identified in many different ways, but how would you articulate the idea of risk tolerance, risk aversion, risk appetite when you're trying to structure your pillars of wealth?
The idea of risk tolerance or appetite is of course a crucial one, and there are very specific economic definitions of these, but for our purposes here, it's sufficient to talk about them in these terms. It's important for us to understand how comfortable we are with taking different types of risk. In order to make that determination, we need to know exactly what it is that we're putting at risk, what is actually being put at risk. And that's one of the great deficiencies in many people's education. We don't know enough about what risk is, how to quantify it, how to mitigate it. And so I'm very much a champion of teaching those lessons to young people well before they enter professional schools. Because that's really the first line of defense, is being able to identify a risk and understand how it impacts us in a very personal and emotional way. All of that is tied into how we feel about risk, what our risk tolerance is, how much risk we can tolerate before we feel that we are going to lose sleep or we've got to run kicking and screaming out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And so crucial for us to understand ourselves, and many of us don't, because we fall prey to one of the misconceptions that's very prevalent in the financial world, which is that we can measure our risk tolerance and it's an invariant quantity, which means that I can answer a questionnaire and based on 10 or 12 questions, someone else who's keeping track of my answers can say, oh, your risk tolerance is this number,
mm-hmm.
which has various implications in what kind of investments you can make.
Right.
That's an effort by regulatory agencies to try to do the right thing and protect us, sometimes from ourselves.
Right.
But the disturbing fact is that our risk tolerance and risk aversion, which is a related concept, are actually not necessarily fixed. They vary depending on the environment. They vary depending on whether we've just come out of a big subprime crash and everyone's highly, highly sensitized to risk and wouldn't want to bear much risk,
right,
or whether we're at the crest of a seven-year expansion, a bull market, in which case we all feel invincible and we will answer those 10 or 12 questions very differently. So it's very important for professionals in this space as well as ourselves to recognize that the whole notion of risk tolerance and risk aversion is very nuanced. There is no single number that we can reach to and just say, hey, we're safe. We know what that number is.
We're talking with Dr. Yuval Bar-Or, who is not only a leading expert in decision-making in the context of risk, but he's a well-published author, and we're talking about his latest book, Pillars of Wealth, Personal Finance Essentials for Medical Professionals. Yuval, how can people get a copy of this book? Where should they go?
Easiest place to get copies of the book are on Amazon.com.
Okay.
And also possible, in particular, if people are interested in larger quantities, to go directly to the pillarsofwealth.com website.
Oh, awesome. And this is labeled as book one of Pillars of Wealth. And it's obviously a survey of a lot of different topics. And we could spend an entire day digging into each of the topics. What is book two, and how many books are there coming out on the Pillars of Wealth?
Well, the second book is about to be published. I mean, we're about a week away from those being available.
Awesome.
So very timely. Book one focuses on assisting medical practitioners with financial decisions for themselves and their household. So it's very much a personal financial literacy voyage.
Okay.
Book two assists that same population of medical practitioners in private practice. They are business owners, so they have a whole other set of issues that they have to deal with. So now they have to worry about business finances. They have to worry about
business planning,
contracting and planning,
contract,
and business risk management.
Insurance.
Precisely. Human resources issues.
Human resources.
Regulatory
issues,
agencies.
Regulatory. Especially with healthcare reform now. If they're healthcare professionals, they have a whole new regime of rules and regulations that people are just learning about, let alone trying to manage.
Right. And the trend has been it's become more and more difficult for, in particular, physicians to survive as private practitioners, and we've seen more and more of
more consolidation. I'm seeing that myself. My brother's an orthopedic surgeon, and he's mentioned to me that he's been approached by various larger, big practice groups to join. And I think it's a very common scenario. I mean, you see that some of the very fine physicians at, you know, Kaiser and other places around here, which are big organizations that employ, you know, Stanford-educated doctors, Duke-educated doctors that can provide the services just as well in a large environment as they could on their own. The times have changed for physician practitioners, haven't they?
They have indeed, yes.
So we're talking with Dr. Yuval Bar-Or. Again, Yuval, if people want to get a copy of Book 1, Pillars of Wealth, or Book 2, they should go to www.pillarsofwealth.com. or Amazon.com. I thank you so much for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth. Folks, read this book. It's got a lot of content and a very short thumbprint, and it's a quick read. I think you'll enjoy it, and even if you're not a medical professional, if you make your living by charging by the hour or you're concerned about time, this is a very timely book. Thanks for being a special guest.
Thank you very much, Wayne.